thank you both for sharing this morning. It was really, really powerful. I was hearing just the testimonies this morning. It was really so powerful. And Dave, man, should have been preaching this morning. That's good. I mean, sound like your pastor. Is because your spirit, your born again spirit, is the thing that informs your soul and changes your mind. Amen. That's what you have to have. See, because you believe, if you are believing based on, your circumstances and the things that are happening to you in your daily existence, all the leaves that are falling on your head and the puddles that you step in, then you're going to be pretty depressed. Because this world is all you see and this world is all you know. And this world is all you pay attention to. And this world is all you hear. But once you've begun to have the Word of God and the promises of God speak to your heart and daily meditate upon those promises, they make a distinction between this world and the kingdom of heaven, which is living on the inside of you. People wonder, how do you do that? You fellowship with God personally. And what a blessing it is, what a powerful blessing it is to have the God's Word printed. How many of you got one of these? You can actually have your Bible on one of these. This is weird. Amen? When I was a kid, we didn't have that. It's like those kids on the AT&T. Well, in my day, we couldn't take TV outside by the pool. We couldn't carry the Bible. Only problem with this is your battery runs out when you're reading it. So you should always carry one. You should always carry a backup. Amen? You should always have a backup version. You should always have your Bible, an emergency Bible in your car. Something that you can read, something that you could listen to, something that you could read to yourself. Amen? But to see, once your spirit is indwelt by the Word, it begins to inform your mind, your daily existence. And just because you're dumb, like me, doesn't mean that God can't speak to you. Just because you don't have a seminary degree, most seminary degrees are garbage anyway, because they talk you out of your faith instead of talk you into it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know how in the world they do that. Did you know Harvard was founded as a seminary? I don't know what happened. But I mean, that was the only reason that school was started, was as a place to learn the Word of God for ministers. And, well, something went haywire all the way down the road, didn't it? I mean, my goodness, they won't even let God in the door. Amen? They will? He will? Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'm talking about the faculty, though. Praise the Lord. The official word is, keep out. But God gets in. He sends Mara, Did you go to Harvard? A little bit. Praise the Lord. A little bit. Oh, amen. Well, God's really powerful. But I mean, I just, it's exciting to hear such a testimony. Is that, hey, the Word of God informs your soul. The Spirit tells your soul. Your spirit receives the seed of the Word of God and the promise of God. And then it informs your dumb head. And your head is the part of you that has experienced disappointment, isn't it? You ever had in your life, in your existence on the planet here, maybe a disappointment? Maybe you've had fear. Maybe you've had anger, retribution, hatred, all of this kind of stuff, because you learned how to get by in this world, didn't you? You learned how to, when somebody punched you, you punch back. Well, that's the way of the world. Like Robert used to say, the golden rule was do others before they do you. Praise the Lord. That's the golden rule for the world. But God now has moved on the inside. He wanted to kind of come into this world. He broke in, you remember, that the Word of God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:14. The Word of God became flesh and He dwelt among us. And then as He dwelt among us, He began to demonstrate the light of the world. He began to demonstrate the kingdom of heaven. He said, the kingdom of heaven has come near unto you, has come to you. Here it is. The kingdom of heaven has arrived. Amen. Are you living in the kingdom of heaven today? Say, yes, I am. Hallelujah. We're living in the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. There are days you can be thinking about your circumstances outwardly. We'll talk about that in a minute. Is those circumstances which are daily attempting to get your attention. Hey, look at me. See, it worked. Your circumstances are trying to get you to look at them. Hey, did it work? Yeah. Did it work? Hey! See, they want you to look at them. Your circumstances want you to look at them instead of looking at Jesus. Amen? But that's the reason we gather together here. And so I can tell you, and so we can encourage one another. Not just me, but you can encourage one another. It says, provoke one another to love and to good works. To provoke one another to love and to good works. In other words, don't pay eye for an eye. Love one another, bless one another, encourage one another, build up one another with the promises. Because somebody forgot today, amen. Somebody forgot because something really just something just kind of invaded them today, with something that happened. And we just want to encourage. I've told you to get a 911 person. Somebody you can call who's not going to listen to your junk. Amen? Who's not going to listen to your sob story. Somebody who's going to say, okay, I want you to, and I want you to begin to praise God with me right now, just out of your mouth. Forget saying anything else. Just begin to thank God. And the other person says, if I'd wanted to call Pastor Jim, I would have called him. But I called you so I could whine. Amen? Anybody ever done that? You called somebody who you knew would listen to you. Don't ever get anybody like that. And if somebody calls you, don't let them do it to you. Amen? Don't be a nice Christian. Let them just blabber at you. Tell them the truth. Tell them the truth that God loves them and they're listening to lies. Now, did something happen? Yes, I'm sure it did. I know it happened. We live in this world. There's all kinds of junk that happens. But you're still listening to a lie that says you get to complain about that, you get to cry about that, you get to whine about that, rather than to say, my Father in heaven has already made provision for that problem. Amen? I mean, you'll sit there and just cry about it, but it's not going to do you any good. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help you. Never has. Never will. Unless you get somebody to, just cry with you for a while. It's just like drugs. Just like alcohol, it doesn't last long. It doesn't last long enough. All of the junk, everything that you decide to do that's going to be a substitute for God's love and for God's provision, it doesn't last, does it? You got to do it again and again and again and again, and then you get sucked into just your way of coping, your way of taking care of your problem. Get back to God's Word because He sets you free. Amen. Well, we'll look over at Psalm chapter 130. Psalm chapter 130. Ooh. Psalm chapter 130. We've been going through these Psalms, the last several times we've been together this year. Oh, new baby alert. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Nathan and Liz have a new baby. Oh, she's great. What's her name? Fiona Elizabeth. Amen. Lord, thank you for this new girl. Thank you for her. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, well, she's quiet too. Amen. Amen. Psalm chapter 130. Again, we've been going through these psalms here. These are psalms of degrees. It's like a stair step. Degrees. They go up. It's like ascending the stairs. And these particular psalms are from 120 to 134. I told you it was through 130. It's actually through 134. These are the only ones in the Psalms that actually have that heading. So this is like a mini series. You know, it's the Psalms are progressing there, and I've told you they're about God's deliverance and showing you how God is delivering you by His grace, by His mercy, because He loves you. No matter what circumstance that you've got going on that you had happen, whatever has happened to you, God is delivering you from it because He likes you. Amen. Just like Paul said this morning. God likes you. You know, He's not just obligated like your parent, you know, your parent's obligated to love you, but do they like you? God likes you. He wants the very best for you. You're His child. You're His son. You're His daughter. And He wants the very best for you. And He wants you to unload all the garbage, right? All the junk. And some of that stuff has just come because it's your fault. You married that guy. You married that girl. You made that decision. One interesting thing about this is that if you look at Psalm 131, you know, I looked at Psalm 131, which is the next one, which is that you don't want to be getting involved in things that are too big for you, which is most everything. You get involved in things that are too big for you. You try to handle things that are too big for you to handle. And again, that's most things. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because you think you're something. Or at least you think it's your responsibility to handle it. Amen. So you're going to get in there and, oh, golly. You know, have you ever seen a little kid in the kitchen? They're going to cook like mama? It's a little too big for you, baby. A little too big for you to cook in that kitchen. That kitchen is a disaster. Huh? And whatever it was didn't turn out either. Praise the Lord. Get mama in there. Get God in there to help you. That's right. I got help this morning. All right, so let's look at Psalm 130. Again, all of these Psalms, I'm going to read the first verse in some of these. If it had not been the Lord who was on my side, if it had not been the Lord who was on my side, I would have been swallowed up. They that trust, Psalm 125, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which can never be removed, but abideth forever. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like those that dream. We've been refreshed. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Blessed is everyone that fears the Lord and that walks in His ways. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth. The Lord is righteous. He has cut asunder the cords of the wicked. These are Psalms of deliverance. This is how God has delivered me. God is daily delivering me. Do you see that? God is daily delivering you. No matter what the circumstance is, He is daily delivering me. When I wake up in the morning, God is delivering me. He's setting me free. Now look over here at 130. Out of the depths, I have cried to You, O Lord. There is again, we're talking about the soul, difference between the soul and the spirit. The soul is that part of you that will get into the depths. Out of the depths, I have cried to You, O Lord. There's a book that Pastor Jim and I use a lot of time for some occasional services. And this is in the funeral section, you know, and they got all kinds of the... And actually, that book was written back in the 50s. It's actually a Lutheran service book. It was written back in the 50s, so... They have got the scripture in there and like really awesome, you know. It's not the social change organization quite yet that it is today. But one of these scriptures, it's in there, this particular one, out of the depths have I cried to you. And when the first time I read that, I looked at it and I thought, is that like the guy who thinks he's in purgatory or something? I mean, is he out of the depths I've cried to you. Are you dead and crying out of the depths? No, well, you know, no, you can't be. No, it's either, you're either in or you're out. So this is not out of the depths of like Sheol that I'm in trouble and God, I'm trying to pray to God to get me out. This is for right here and right now. So it's not about death, is what I'm telling you. It's not about, this scripture is not about, you know, being dead. This scripture is about right now crying out in the middle of your garbage, in the middle of your garbage dump, in the middle of the pigsty, with like the son, like the prodigal son is doing. Out of the depths have I cried to you, O Lord. So first of all, we see the flesh, when it's in the middle of its garbage, has no hope in and of itself. But your hope is in God. Out of the depths have I cried to you. So listen to me. Have hope to, no matter where you are, build on this foundation that wherever you are, whatever place you find yourself in, there is always a place where you're going to cry out to God and He hears you. You have not out-sinned God. You've not out-sinned His mercy. And a lot of people don't, I mean, I don't know. It depends on, I guess, what doctrine you were raised under. But my goodness, you run into so many folks. I mean, you know, well, I just gave up. I'm sure God's through with me. No, you're just through with you. God's not through with you. God likes you. He thinks you're great. You are well worth His effort. Oh, yeah, you're just saying that. No, I'm just saying what He says. He said, you want to read your old John 3:16? That's all the one you need. For God so loved the world that He gave, not the church, not the good people. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is you. So no matter what situation or thought pattern you find yourself in, God is, He is after you. He is loving you. He's chasing after you. His desire is to bring you into a full transformation into what He has provided. That's His purpose. That's the reason He did it all. That's the reason we bought pews. You didn't get that. And that's the reason the lights are on. That's the reason that we meet together. Is so that God's promise can come on the inside of you and make that baby happy. God's promise is for you. And He is delivering that promise to you every single day. So out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. David knows that he has an opportunity and an open door every time that he's in trouble to cry out to God. There is never a closed door. There is never a closed heaven. I don't care what you feel like. I don't care what if you feel like heaven is brass. You know, people talk about your prayers bouncing around, bouncing off the ceiling. Nonsense. Your prayers don't bounce off the ceiling. There is an enemy that you have who hates you. And it's not God. God loves you. He is your Father. Jesus spent all the time in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, talking about to the Jewish people about your Father, not the giant God Yahweh, whose name you cannot say, but God your Father. Well, if you will come to God in your prayer closet, God will and pray to God secretly, He will reward you openly. Your Father in heaven. When He taught them to pray, He said, "Oh, great God of heaven." No, He said, "Our Father. Our Father who art in heaven." Some of you had a bad father here on the earth. Some of you had a father you cannot relate to a loving father. Well, let's turn that around. God is your loving father. He is a loving father. He's the father that you wish you had, that you saw Jimmy down the street had a loving father and you didn't. Your guy was a drunk. Your guy was mean. Your guy was hateful. Your guy beat your mom. You know, that's the guy you were afraid of and you wanted one. This is Jimmy's dad. Or whoever, you know, Sarah's dad, whoever. This is the one, he is better than that one. He is the heavenly father who absolutely loves you. How, you know, come here, sit down, let's talk about it. Tell me about your dad for 10 minutes. And I'll tell you about the Father in heaven who is absolutely the opposite, who loves you and his desire is to see you do the very best and enjoy everything that he's provided for you. Amen? So let's get past that.
You don't understand.
I know I don't understand. I do understand that, you know, the guy should be in prison based on what you told me. But how long are you going to do that? How long are you going to sit there and let me tell you the truth and you just call me a liar when I'm telling you the Word of God is true and God loves you? Let's just get past that. Get past let me just introduce you. Let me bring you in. Amen. So many times you just want to talk and you want to complain and you want to whine. You want to rehearse your problem rather than getting the solution and getting the answer, which is knowing your Father in heaven. So out of the depths I've cried to you. See, so many times we just spend so much time crying and so much time complaining, and then you tell me I don't care. Or you tell some of your, whoever it is you're talking to, that they don't care. No, they care enough to get you out of there, to bring you out. Amen? So I'm caring enough to bring you out. So stop rehearsing all of your disappointments for 10 minutes. Quit trying to convince me that God's mean. I know better. I want to show you that God loves you. And his mercies are all for you. And even though you're in the middle of trouble, even though troubles have come and abundantly overwhelmed you, God is bringing you into his presence, into his mercy, into his love. He's using even those terrible situations to bring you, to show you that you don't have the capacity, but he does. Well, that's just crazy. Yeah, I know it is. I know that's just like, but it seems crazy to you because you don't know the kingdom of heaven. All you know is what you know. All you know is your like local, you know, problem. You've never known anything different. So let me take you out. Let me help you. Let me take you out. You're so married to your situation. And some of you mad. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I know you got a situation. I've had a situation. I know. But I want you to know this, is that you go back to the Scripture and you go back to the promises of God. Because God made the place. God made the world. God made the place. God made you. God made everybody else. You didn't. You don't get to make all the decisions. All you know is what you're living. All you know is your daily existence. You don't know the big picture. You don't know the end from the beginning. God made the world. God made you. He made the end from the beginning. You don't have those. These things are too big for you, and you're making decisions based on no information. What would you tell somebody like you? You're making decisions totally on your own experience. And you don't know the whole world. You don't know the whole situation. But God loves you. God made a way for you to bring you into the kingdom of heaven. There's a kingdom of heaven that was totally forgotten about. Nobody knew about it. God began to break in. He began to break into the world and declare himself. Amen? I said, God began to break into the world to declare himself, because in Judges it said everybody did what was right in his own eyes. You didn't have Christian television, such as it is. You didn't have Christian radio. I mean, people were just doing what they wanted to do. Based on, if it feels good, do it. That was the doctrine of the day. It's pretty much the doctrine of today. How many we've had two generations without the gospel. Do you know how many kids are raised up, they don't have any idea who Jesus is in this country? Because we decided that we were going to take God out of our schools. We decided we were going to take God out of our culture. You know, the only God we have is on the architecture in Washington. How funny is that? That's the only God. They got God's word on the ark and Moses carved into a building. They're working on getting rid of that. So we have two generations of people. Two generations raised that do not know anything about the gospel. And you're thinking that you're satisfied, thinking, especially people our age, my age, that everybody knows about the gospel. No, they don't. No, they don't. Their kids, Lucas and Jacob's age, don't know nothing. Hadn't heard nothing. Amen? I'm telling you, just don't know anything. People, kids 25 and 30 years old, have been raised. Tommy, don't even know the name of the Lord Jesus. This is our opportunity. Amen? That's who we are. We're the gospel of God. We're the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're the demonstration of the kingdom of heaven. And again, here's what I'm telling you, is these people have lived, grown up and lived, and they have no understanding. God broke into the world and he delivered his word and his promise and his covenant into the world. And he carried it through. The reason he gave the law was to carry the promise all the way through to Jesus. Amen? That's the reason he gave the law. He codified his covenant. His covenant was all have sinned, God made provision. So the law is not about doing the law. The law is about redemption, isn't it? The law is not about do this or God won't like you. That's not it. The law is, here's the law, you broke it, and here's how we fix it. With blood, the blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, the blood of bulls and goats. That's just temporary. But then he brought it all the way to Jesus, the eternal sacrifice. And now the eternal sacrifice has been made, and now it belongs to you. The hope of the Old Testament saints was looking forward to the Messiah. The hope of our generation is looking to the foundation, to the Savior slain from the foundation of the world. I've already received him. You know, he's already made everything. Well, you know, and people want to get rid of the idea that sin is sin. Well, doesn't get rid of that problem, does it? Just because you're closing your eyes doesn't mean, you know, it's not there. Just because you close your eyes doesn't mean the bear is not there. Oh my gosh, it's a bear! Boy, I'm glad he's gone. Amen? Just because you close your eyes doesn't mean the problem does not exist. You are dead in your sins. Why am I preaching on this? You are dead in your sins. The whole world is dying. They're dead in their sins. And so God made a provision. It's not about being good so God can be happy with your behavior. I hope you know that. Shape up, so God will be happy with you and he won't slap you. That's ridiculous. I'm sorry, was that your doctrine? That's ridiculous. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. Guess what? Eternal life doesn't start in heaven. Eternal life starts right now. You want to get free? Get free right now. You want to get free? Receive Jesus right now. You want to get free of all your garbage? Receive Jesus right now, and he begins to transform your life. He gets rid of all your pain, all your garbage. Amen? Amen. First of all, he starts from the heart. He starts from the heart. And then it begins, as David said this morning, that it begins to inform your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. It begins to change your life. The seed, how many know that a seed planted in the ground breaks out of its shell and it produces? We don't know how. God put it in there. He said it at the very beginning. He said God put everything, its seed within itself, so that it would reproduce. Like people, like apples, like, you know, all kinds of stuff. Everything that has its seed in itself will reproduce. The Word of God, listen, will reproduce on the inside of you. The Word of God will reproduce on the inside of you, and it'll create life. You've got a bunch of death on the inside of you because you believed a lie. But God's Word is producing life on the inside of you. It's destroying the power of the enemy who is a liar. And as you meditate upon that day and night, as you worship God, He begins to change you. Out of the depths have I cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. David has an expectation that God hears him. David has an expectation that God's hearing him. Because he's had that much of the Word of God which says, I made a promise to you, come to me. Whosoever will. Whoever wills. It doesn't matter if you've sinned. Doesn't matter if you've messed up. Maybe you messed up a while back. He loves you. He's ready for you to come back right now. He's been waiting on you to come back. Lord, come on back. Come on back. He's like the dad out there in the prodigal son. He's standing out there every day. For you to all of a sudden go, you know, doink. The light bulb goes off and says, you know, my dad's servants even eat better than this. I know. I'll go back. And I'll just be one of his servants. At least I'll get to eat good. But he came back, and the father's not even listening to him. So, Father, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And his father's just, he's not paying any attention to the guy. He sticks the robe, the son's robe on him. He sticks the son's ring on him. He sticks the son's shoes on him. He sets him. He fixes him up like a son, because his son's come home. Do you know that you're the son of God? I'll make you a daughter of God too, if you want. You're the son of God. Hey, you daughters, you guess what? You get the son's position. You're not even a second fiddle. Isn't that neat? So daughters don't have to be second fiddle. They get to be sons. That's so cool. That's cool of God. So a daughter gets to be a son too. That's so powerful. Oh, praise the Lord. So, Lord, hear my voice. God's hearing your voice. You know that God hears your voice? Say, He hears my voice. Amen. He's attentive to my supplication. Say that. Okay, the rest of you, He's not. If you didn't say it, you know. Well, no, what I'm telling you is, say these things. I will say of the Lord, Psalm 91. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my strong tower. I will say of the Lord. Do you say stuff? I mean, besides the junk you say. I mean, besides the unbelief that you say. Do you say stuff like, oh, man, I'm so glad God loves me today. Boink, you know, wake up. I'm so glad that God loves me today. I'm glad He's not mad. I'm glad He's happy with me. I'm glad He sees me as one of His children. He sees me as one of His sons. Do you say that? You know, it's important for you to say that, because otherwise you'll think of something else to say, you know, about 10 minutes later if you don't start out with it. You need to begin to talk like God talks about you. Hallelujah. The reason I say that is because your spirit is telling your soul how to live today. Your spirit's telling your soul that today's a good day. No, it's not. You kind of like beat the guy out. You know, you're going to beat your soul to the punch. He doesn't get to define you. Your bad attitude doesn't get to define you today. Amen? This is not your best life now. Amen? This is the power of God. This is the glove of Jesus. Some of you got that. This is the love of Jesus. This is the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. This is not self-help. This is not psych yourself up. This is word yourself up. This is promise yourself up. Amen. Hey, what did Pastor Jim say last week? Christianity is not what? Starts with an M, ends with a Y. It's got an L in the middle. Morality, thank you. Christianity is not morality. It's not being good. It's not behaving yourself, is it? Huh? It's receiving the promise. That's Christianity. It's receiving the promise and letting Him fulfill the promise on the inside of you. And the good works that He performs and the good works that He does are not you saying something just right. It's because you believe and you walk according to what His promise has said. What's the promise? The promise is God loves me. So that's it. That's it. That's Christianity. God loves me. And God provided everything that's necessary for life and godliness. So that's Christianity, is believing. You know, what's the work? What should we do that we might work the works of God? That you might believe on Him whom He has sent. Everybody say believe. Isn't that neat? Oh, gosh. Just believe. Believe on Him. And every day you get up believing. And every day you get up. You know, if you believe something, you begin to act like it. You begin to act that you believe, like you believe it. Amen? Do you believe that God loves you? Yes, I do. See, just say that. Don't think about it. My gosh. Don't think about it. See, because you'll talk yourself out of it. You'll think of five reasons why not. Right? You'll think of five reasons why not. I guarantee you. You know, you'll just talk yourself out of it in a minute. Now, verse 3 says, in Psalm 130, so the Lord's attentive to your voice, and then verse 3 says, if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, I'm out. If you're counting on pluses and minuses, I'm out. If you're counting on me doing something right, I'm history. See, that's what the scripture says right here. That's what David recognized. He's making that caveat and saying, okay, if Christianity is morality, I failed. If I'm saying I'm a Christian and that's what I think it is, then I'm a liar. Because I'm not one, because I didn't do it right. But that's not what it is. It's not marking iniquities. God's not marking iniquities. You're just drowning. You're in trouble. And God just came to save you. So, Lord, if you should mark iniquities, then who's going to stand? Nobody. But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. Why that He may be feared? Because His forgiveness is bigger than you can imagine. His forgiveness is so big for you, it's scary. Amen? Because guess what? Your cancer's gone. It's gone. Your sins are gone. That fast. That fast. It's gone. It's gone. Everything from age 0 to age, 91. Get Norma. From 0 to 100, your sins are gone. Well, as soon as you receive Jesus Christ, your sins are gone. But you're still looking at yourself as if they're not. So that's why you have a problem. You're still looking at yourself as if you're under some kind of scrutiny. You're not. You're not. I'm forgiven. Hallelujah. I'm forgiven. God's totally forgiven me. So I'm going to quit looking. I'm just going to keep looking at Him because there's nothing else to look at. Looking at me is nothing. There's nothing for me to look at. There is forgiveness. If you're going to mark iniquities, nobody would stand. So you decided to do something else. You decided to have forgiveness. But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. Because you are able to, forgive to the uttermost, bigger than I could ever imagine. He's above everything that we could ever ask or think. I mean, if a guy comes in with enough dough to pay off your debts, my debts, and everybody's debts, the church's debt, and the national debt. Maybe the guy came in, he was going to pay off the national debt, $16 trillion, and he decided he was going to pick Barbara and say, you know what, I'm going to pay off your debt. I mean, that guy's got more, he's got more capital, you know, but he decided he just came personally to Barbara. He went, came back, came, sat down, and decided he's going to pick her, and he's going to pay off her debt.
And he does.
And he did, yeah. So he's sitting here, he could pay off anybody's debt. He could pay off every debt. In fact, he did. But it's like, man, that guy's got a lot of dough. That guy's got a lot of cash. He's got a lot of capital. He's got a lot of ability. And he picked me. He sat down right next to me. He didn't even just send it. He sent it personally. He wants to come and sit here personally with her and have a relationship. He wants to talk to her. He wants to have time with her. He wants to love her. Amen? He does. He wants to exactly love you. He's forgiving you. You want me to come sit next to you, Louise? No, okay. Hope she's not jealous. Hallelujah. But there's forgiveness with you that you may be feared. I want to tell you something. You need to listen. That God loves you and He has forgiven you. You should be so forgiven that you're fearing God. Amen? I don't know if anybody gets that. I mean, the biggest guy in town decided to come by and love you and hang out with you because he does love you. And he paid off all your debts. And he's made provision for you. Not only paying off your debts, now he doesn't say, okay, stay out of debt. Okay, now just shape up. I paid off all your debts. Shape up. No, he doesn't do that. He actually comes on the inside and makes sure that you always have provision, that you never get in debt again. Amen. Verse 5, Psalm 130. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in His word do I hope. Remember, this is David. A minute ago, he was in the depths. And a few minutes ago, four verses ago, he was in the depths. Now here he is in verse 5, and he hopes in His word. He's hoping in God's promise because he's been forgiven. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait. And in His word do I hope. In His word do I trust. I put total provision in His word. His provision is in His word. His provision is in His word. His provision is in His word. You want to get everything paid for? Get in His word. You want to get everything completed and finished and fixed? Get into His word. Hallelujah. My soul waits for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. My soul waits for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. How sure is the morning? Pretty sure. The morning comes no matter what. So I wait for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. More than I watch for the morning, I hope in His word. I'm more sure of God's promise. Now again, I'm going to tell you, my mind gets up with the same junk daily that comes down the pike as yours does. But making that decision to say, I trust God's word more than what somebody else is trying to deliver to me. Bad phone call. Amen. Bad text message. Oh, text messages. Oh, aren't those great? You know, those things that kill you. Text messages, that's the worst. I mean, you know, because there's no emotion in it. It's just words. and somebody could send you something, and you get like, you're just devastated. More than the phone call, more than the circumstance, more than the bill in the mail, more than the mail. Of course, everybody, snail mail. You can still get something in snail mail that will depress you. All of these things that we listen to. More sure. I am more sure of the Word of God than I am that the morning is coming. And by golly, the morning is coming. But I'm more sure of the Word of God. And I'm going to say that because my spirit is informing my soul. And so I begin to listen to what I'm saying. I begin to listen to what I'm saying. I begin to listen to the Word of God instead of the word of people. Amen? So let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy. And with Him is plenty, plenteous redemption. Israel, that's you. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy. Now we're back to that forgiveness, isn't there? Aren't we? So Israel is hoping in mercy. Because Israel, you remember Israel came before the law, right? Israel was actually before the law. Israel is Jacob. Jacob has his heritage in faith and in a promise, doesn't he? Israel's got his heritage in a promise. Israel is, you have Abraham, you have Isaac, you have Jacob. Where did Abraham come from? Do you remember? God picked the Jews. No. Guess again. God made the Jews just out of people. God made the Jews out of Gentiles. Didn't have anything else to work with. Amen. He just went looking around for a guy who would believe. And he saw this Abraham guy. And he was a pagan priest. So he said, hey, dude. If you'll believe me, I got a deal for you. If you will believe me, and I think you're my kind of guy. If you will believe me, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And by the way, I know you don't have any kids and you're 75 years old. That's stupid. Any guy who would believe that is stupid. I mean, if it was you or me coming to him. But God came to him. God came to him. I mean, you're 75 years old, you have no kids, and some guy comes along and says, you're going to be the father of many nations. But the thing is, he's got the ability to do it. He can do it because he's God. And he came to you and he made a promise, Nick. He made a promise. And see, when Abraham said, yes, amen, God began to move the promise in his direction. In fact, God began to move the promise to not only Abraham's direction, but the entire world, because the whole purpose of the promise to Abraham was to win the whole world. All he had to do was create a people so he could have a line, so he could have a son, so that the son could die, and the Jews could be a light to the Gentiles, light to the nations. So the Jews were not about the Jews. The Jews were God's provision for the whole nation, for the whole world. That's why we pray for the nations. Let's just pray for the Christians. No, he said, every tongue, every tribe, everybody's in. Everybody's in. Whosoever will believe. So let Israel, the people of the promise, hope in the Lord. Are you the people of the promise? Yep. Amen. Oh, man, look at that. The people of the promise. The people of the promise. And with him there is plenty of redemption. More than enough money to pay off all your debts. Buy your house, put you in it. Buy your clothes, get you a wardrobe, feed you. You know, all that stuff that the dad did for the kid, for the son, who was a disaster, God's doing for you. Amen? He's doing it for you. Now, he's going to give you hope. First thing God wants to do, like David said right at the very beginning, is, in your word do I hope in your promise, which is means in your promise do I hope. And he shall redeem Israel, verse 8, and he shall redeem Israel from all its iniquities. In other words, There won't be anything left over. There won't be any balloon note at the end. You know, it'll be, you know, God's redeeming you from all of your debts. Everything you owed, God is delivering you from all of it. I want you to look quickly at Psalm 131, and I talked about it a while ago. It says, my heart is not haughty, my eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or things that are too high for me. Of course, God said, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Because you don't have the capacity to do what God's going to do for you. So you're out there trying to mow the grass, and your feet are hanging off. You're hanging on to the top of the mower, and your feet can't even reach the ground. You know, you're gonna, you know, trying to do things that you cannot do. You're not built to do. See, the world has been designed to macho you up, to make you think that you are supposed to do certain things. Guess what? God designed you to fellowship with Him. That's what He designed you to do. Surely, verse 2, now watch this, it's very interesting. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself. Sounds like a well-behaved person. As a child that is weaned of his mother. Now you know how kids are before they're weaned, right? Before they're trained and learned. Little bitty kids, you know, mama, mama, mama. I mean, they're just running after you. They're just crawling on you. They're just, you know. But a kid who has been weaned in this context is a kid who is, say, you know, 4 or 5 years old, who has now been taught that he is able to trust and can sit and be still and be quiet because he is confident that all of his needs are supplied. He's a child. He's weaned. And he's quiet. That's me. That's you. Because of the promise. That's you. That's me. Because of the promise. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul, my soul, again, that part of me that was trained up in the world to respond in certain ways to certain stimulus and certain situations, my soul is even as a weaned child. My soul doesn't respond to the world. My soul responds to the training and the chastisement of my Father. I know that even in a troubled situation, I'm okay. In trouble, I'm okay. Are you okay in trouble? I am. In trouble, I'm okay. Because I'm not checking with flesh or my ability to perform. I'm okay because I trust my Father. Job said it, and I repeated this to you numerous times, in Job 23, which is right smack in the middle of the book, smack in the middle of the problem. Job said this, he says, chapter 23, verse 10, he says, for he knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. So he's right in the middle of the big problem. And his buddies are over there trying to figure out, well, what'd you do wrong? So they're in the middle of they're trying to describe to him and figure out, Job, come on, you did something. What is it? Fess up. Come on. We know you did something. You're hiding something. You did something wicked. We just know it. Job couldn't think of anything. He says of the Father, for he knows the way that I take. He knows exactly where I am. He hadn't lost me out on the road. You know. He knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. Not a problem. Because I trust Him. I trust His provision. I want you to trust His provision today. I want you to trust His provision tomorrow. I want you to trust His provision because God loves you. And He has given you a gift. He's given you hope. In His Word do I His promise do I hope. I have full confidence that what he began in me, that he is able to perform. He is going to perform. He is going to finish it. Whether sickness has arrived in my body, whether trouble has arrived in my house, I'm just talking outwardly, and it does. Things happen. Things arrive. But my response to it is, my Father in heaven, in me, knows exactly where I am. And I'm coming through. I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. And I know my Father in heaven loves me, and I know you guys do too. You got brothers and sisters in the kingdom of heaven. Some of them aren't worth much, but they love you. Amen. Like me, I'm probably not worth much. Not worth, you know. Praise the Lord. Good thing you don't depend on me. Good thing Janet doesn't depend on me. Praise the Lord. Well, she'd be depressed. Yeah, she's nodding her head. Yeah. Oh, amen. You don't depend on your family, do you? To be good and behave themselves and do the right thing, because you know what? They'll mess up. Amen? Do you just love them? Just love them just like God does. You forgive them? You forgive them just like God does. Because God gave you the perfect family for you. It's like, God, where were you? Where was I when you were handing out the families? Was I behind the door? You know? God loves you. He loves me so much. And I'm just going to keep saying it. And I'm just going to keep believing it. And I'm going to go to His Word. I'm going to let His Word. Listen, go to His Word and let His Word. Yeah, you think, oh, yeah, what do those black and white words on a page do? More than you know. Hey, what is the junk on the television and the other stuff you listen to done to you? You believe something? You believe all kinds of garbage because of people, somebody said it to you, or because you watched it, or because you listened to it. You believe all kinds of things. Get to God's Word and He's going to straighten you out. He'll tell you the truth. Amen? I'm telling you, most of the stuff you believe is the garbage you learned in the world. I mean, don't tell me that the Word of God is not going to change you. How can that change me? Because number one, God wrote it. Number two, He made you and He knows how to communicate to you. He knows how to bring His Spirit on the inside of you. He knows how to provide for you. He loves you. So quit making excuses for not letting the Word of God change you, because you don't have any other, I know you don't have any other options. That's why you're here, right? This is the bottom of the barrel, kids. Praise God. Unless you're trying to get on that website. I think our website works better than the one they're having problems with. Amen? Praise the Lord. Our website's got some good word on it. Praise the Lord. Are you happy? Are you happy it's over? Praise the Lord. Amen. Lord, we worship you. Let's lift our hands and thank Him. And if you don't like lifting your hands, do it anyway. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you right now for your mercy and your goodness and your faithfulness. Thank you for the Word of God. In your Word do I hope. And we thank you for the demonstration of power that you're working in us. You're changing us. Father, those people today who have had a problem and troubles that they just couldn't even seem to get out of, Father, I thank you that you'll minister to them right now. Father, we thank you for it. I ask you to, if somebody needs prayer this morning, that they won't leave here, but they come. Let's pray together. Let's kick the devil in the teeth. And because he didn't win. The guy didn't win. The guy cannot win. I do. I win. Because God's for me. If God be for me, who can be against me? So we give you the praise and thanks for it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Amen.